What? Don't make that face. That's not controversial. Is it controversial?
She's saying. She's saying. The cameras.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast.
Most consistent podcast in the world. You already know.
Why would you tell them that? We just said we weren't going to be, we're not going to even mention the C word.
It's okay, don't worry about that.
Okay. Yeah. What we are going to do is catch up a little bit since we haven't been on.
Yeah, you know, it technically, like, you know, we might, you know, done a little double recording the mm-hmm. other time. So we technically haven't been here for 3 weeks. 2 weeks? 3 weeks? I can't remember. It's been a while. But yeah, we're back and we've done a lot since we've been gone.
Yeah.
So let's catch up. What you been up to, Sana?
Well, in a mere fashion, we traveled to the same place just in different timing.
Yeah, literally.
We did
each
that
other
before.
What?
When we went to Edmonton. No, you went to Vancouver and then I went to Alberta right after.
Yeah.
So I was in Santa Barbara.
How was Santa Barbara? How was the clubhouse?
The clubhouse was fantastic. We had a great old bowl. We went for Hanan's bachelorette and it honestly... I'm high-key sweating.
I know, it's really hot.
It's so
turning
hot.
On all the lights is not the
like,
move.
Should we just open the window? Okay, so we went for Hanan's bachelorette and it was just Gizman and Aisha and I representing... Toronto.
Yeah.
And Hanan,
after
of course.
Like 150 episodes, how are we still like...
Because her name is Gizman.
We don't know how to code switch.
I know.
We're horrible code switchers.
Like, even at the house?
Yeah.
All the girls obviously knew her as Aisha, but I was like, oh, you mean Gizman?
Even me, like, when I was talking about where I went to, I went to LA too, but like, still, I did the same thing. Like, I referred to her as Gizman to people like outside.
But I think most people know now.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you didn't
know. Kind of spilled the beans on that one.
Like, you heard it here first.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a very, like, you know, house name, but everyone knows at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like, that's a fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know, now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
No, I can't.
But yeah, so it was honestly, like, I truly enjoyed it. First of all, we had a really nice neighborhood. Shout out to Team Madge from Dallas. What's her at?
How could you forget, Sarah?
Is it like travel with T-Madge or something like that? Imagine if it is.
Yeah.
Let me just look up travel with T-Madge.
My wife is in the audience again, guys.
Travel with... Oh, it's not travel with T-Madge. Huh? T-Madge.travel. I will put it in the description.
Mm-hmm.
But she hooked it up and really helped Ziggy find, Hanan's sister, find like the most stunning... beautiful house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like huge but super cozy.
Yeah,
like we had 9 girls in there and I did not for a second feel overcrowded at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Hanan just has like truly amazing friends. But it's like they are mashallah, honestly, every single one of them, friends, cousins, sisters, like they made us feel comfortable because I feel like we were the outsiders.
Yeah. Why was it just you two from the outside, from
your side?
Yeah, from my side of me.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you know, like we all bonded. It was such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And like we would go on like our morning walks/runs
mm-hmm.
in the, and like,
oh,
the,
so
neighborhood.
You go on walks with them every morning? Oh, I'm playing.
No, she was she wasn't there.
You weren't there.
We let her sleep in. She's the bride.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds about right. Okay.
But like what surprised me,
yeah,
and I had to like check myself, was like I was fully expecting like, okay, there's a bunch of hijabis
mm-hmm.
in a suburban area in Santa Barbara, like mm-hmm. surely we're gonna get funny stares and stuff. Everyone was so nice, like I was really surprised at how nice they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like we would just be on our walks and people were like, hi, good morning, and I'm like, good morning to you too.
You know why? Because they're scared. They're like, we gotta be nice to him. We don't want them bombing our corners. Our churches, I mean.
No, but even when
I don't know,
like,
why I gave Californians a southern accent.
Yeah, they don't.
The worst southern accent too.
They definitely don't have that accent. Yeah. But we when we went downtown, like their downtown is, it's giving downtown Banff, like, same exact vibes.
Yeah,
and it was super cute. Like,
do they have mountain ranges there too?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. I have to look at her. Like, I think I remember. Yeah, they did. They didn't
have
mountains.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And that was a really good view. We went to the... What was that? A courthouse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we climbed the
courthouse.
Went up the courthouse like a watchtower type of situation. Like it looked like a bell tower kind of. Yeah. And like sick views. It was just, the weather was perfect. Mm-hmm. When I had first landed in LAX on the Thursday, it was so gloomy that I was just like, damn, I left Toronto because it was super rainy when I left.
Yeah.
I was expecting like California sun and I didn't get that the first day. But Friday,
yeah,
when we did the drive over, one, we got super lucky. The traffic wasn't so bad, but like the sun just came out the whole weekend. Mm.
The weird thing is that like I feel like Toronto and LA are an opposite, where like usually Toronto's weather turns for the worse while LA's always turns for the better.
Yeah.
Like that almost exact same thing happened to us on the next day, where like we were supposed to go to like a beach thing and it was raining, like hard rain. Dang. For most of the morning. And like just a couple hours before we're supposed to leave, sun comes out.
Really?
Sunny, you know, we don't have to like bundle up or anything. It was perfect. It worked out perfectly.
It was definitely colder than I thought it was going to be, though, I'm not going to lie. Like,
it definitely was chillier.
Shivering.
Yeah. It wasn't like t-shirt weather.
Yeah.
Right? But it was like, you know, you can get away with like a crew neck, maybe a hoodie.
Yeah.
Like a light hoodie, not like a thick, big hoodie. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when we went in October.
Yeah.
It was warmer than it was this time.
It was warmer in October?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was definitely warmer then. But yeah, like it was honestly just overall a super like just chill. Like just, I really enjoyed my weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and of course I got sick because like, you know, always be getting sick. I have the best immune system always. If it's not. Like, I was suffering.
Yeah.
And you know, I told you guys that I got a new job and my boss is a millennial and she reminds me of the fact that she's just does things that are super millennial in that type of way. So you know what she did? On Thursday, so I came back Wednesday to work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm feeling a little under the weather, you know? Mm. So Thursday, I decided to work from home.
Yeah.
And I think we were like in our morning meeting for our team. I say our team, it's three of us. The three of us
still
were still
a team, okay?
It's still a team.
Well, technically, it's a gang.
Yeah.
Because like they say three or more people is a gang. Whatever. It's a side thing I've heard before. Okay. It's okay. We can continue. You continue. It's
so all good. Yeah. She heard my voice and she said, ma'am,
yeah.
Why are you logged in this morning? And I said, because I've got something to present in the 11 o'clock meeting. That's why. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, no, I'll present it for you. Log off, please.
She is truly a millennial then.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah.
And today, you know what she's
My doing? Boss would be like, don't forget your halls.
That's crazy.
It's like, make sure you take Tylenol a couple hours before.
She was like, I love you, but the building will not burn down if you log off. And I said, you're absolutely right. Good night.
I wish they all had that same mindset.
And you know what's crazy? Mm-hmm. I actually did log off and I took a 4-hour nap.
You were sick. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I woke up and I was like, what year is it?
Yeah.
What happened? You know, truly, like, when I tell you I was disoriented, like, both my parents were home by the time I woke up. Damn. So I said, what day is it? And they're like, did you not work? Like, what happened?
It's like that meme, what year is it?
No, literally, though. Mm-hmm. And then Friday was just one of those days where I, like, logged in. But like,
yeah. I feel like a lot of people kind of check out on like
on Fridays
before like even 11 or 12 p.m. before lunch on Fridays.
Yeah.
Regularly people usually check out by then.
But when you're sick on top of that.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. And then, you know, like I nursed myself back to health. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why I got super sick like between Wednesday and Thursday was because, as you know, I'm training for the 5K. I'm going to drill this into you guys. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Because if we can get to our 10K subscribers,
yeah,
like we promised, we will have custom merch for you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely got to work on that.
We'll do our giveaway.
Yeah, I was supposed to join the run too, but you know, I have a bum knee now.
Did you not sign up?
I can't. I hurt my knee.
I told Steve you signed up.
You did?
Yeah, because I thought you did.
I can still sign up, but my knee is like actually hurt my, I hurt my so knee. So should bad.
We, are you going to walk old. It? Huh? Oh my God.
I can do it. I think I can do it.
I think you could walk it. You could walk
I'm not going to walk a 5K.
Why not?
I would rather like my leg fall off before I walk a 5K.
Okay, dramatic. Like just walk it. It's fine.
You're I want to be with y'all.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll cheer you on when we're at the finish line.
No.
We'll be like, go, Amir, go.
I'm too competitive for that. Like I will like run my knee down to the bone with no cartilage. I can't even say that word. With no cartilage left.
It's not worth it. It's a 5K. It's not worth it.
I could finish that in 25 minutes, easy. What's your 5K time?
I haven't ran the full
5K. You haven't done the full.
No, I've 5K been doing yet? My intervals. But yeah. Wednesday,
yeah.
I was feeling ambitious.
Yeah.
And I went out and I think I got so excited from the LA weather that I went without a jacket. And obviously it was cold here because we're in Toronto. Like, come on. And that's how I got super sick. Like I was already getting there,
yeah.
And then it just like kicks, like it excelled the sickness.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past you. I thought like I would say that's crazy to just wear that, but in Toronto, at least where we live, there's a trail like right next to the building where people run.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like a couple degrees above zero, and you'll see people running in t-shirts and shorts.
No. So did I.
You too, right?
But I was wearing like a long sleeve.
Yeah.
And so I thought I was going to be fine. Plus, when you're running, you get hot. Like your body heats up. But that wasn't the case.
There's only so much heat your body will generate before like that cold just takes over. Or like, when you know, there's a certain the threshold, you know? I feel like a t-shirt and shorts were not ready for that threshold to be broken.
And you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
Is when I was doing my intro running, like I wasn't dripping in sweat. Like I maybe had like a nice little glow.
Yeah.
But the walk back home after I finished my run, my skin was bone dry because of how windy it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I really regret that.
And the issue is that like if your skin is wet.
Yeah.
The wind blows. It gets cold.
Exactly.
And it makes it even colder.
No, that's exactly what happened.
Because it creates a layer of like cold liquid all over your body.
That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to let it get me down. I let myself recover this week,
yeah,
and I'm just gonna go for my run tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
But like also it was like snow raining this week again. I don't know.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was
this
on
week
on Wednesday. Did you not see it
Wednesday? Yeah. This week,
yes,
it was perfectly like fine.
No,
maybe on your side of the city.
I was downtown.
Oh, there was, I don't know if that was Wednesday or Thursday or something. There was one time where like it rained for like 10 seconds in our side and then it went away. But it could be because like we're on the other side of the city. The one thing about Toronto is that like the weather patterns like change by like borough, if that makes sense. So like Scarborough could have a completely different weather pattern than like Etobicoke.
That's
and
true.
Like downtown is different than like North York or East York is different from like, I don't know, Mississauga. Just the GTA in general has like five different weather patterns.
Oh, 100%.
So I feel like you guys could be going through a whole winter snowstorm while like just raining in another part of the city.
I swear, like the morning it was like gray and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, whatever, rain.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I like finally looked out the window, I'm like, those are pretty big raindrops. Like, what is that?
Probably and frozen rain or something.
Yeah, it was like sleet. Is that what it's called?
Oh, but damn. We never got that. No one saw that.
I spit maybe that. They didn't.
I don't know.
Oops. Anyways, how was LA for you?
LA was fun.
We missed each other. It was like one of these.
Poof. Yeah. So I went to LA for a wedding. And
how long were you there?
I was only there for like 72 hours. I got there Friday night and I left Monday.
Oh, I was there longer than you?
Yeah, you were there much longer than me.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, so, like, I went in, and, yeah, like I mentioned, the first day was just a beach day. So, you know, it was chill. You know, you go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. The main thing we were scared of was the weather, because I was looking up the weather ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I was messaging my wife, or Hanan, saying, like, yo, what should I wear? Like, what should I bring? Because I'm a person who likes to pack efficiently.
Amir brings exactly what he needs.
Yeah.
The life of a boy.
Hey. Y'all can do it too, okay?
No, you can't. Hanan, have you ever packed for a trip?
When there's a will, there's a way.
When you're a girl, life happens.
Nah, you're just making excuses.
No, it's a literal. If you're a girl or a woman watching this, mm-hmm. tell me if you've ever gone on a trip and you've packed exactly what you're gonna wear, and worn every single thing that you packed.
Yeah, it's called planning. Okay, something maybe they didn't do.
Amir,
I'm just saying, or y'all don't do if that's happening.
Can
to you.
I show you my notes app? I literally have pictures of me in my outfits. I plan to a T.
Yeah, if you plan to a T, then you should have enough outfits.
But you always have backups.
Okay, I had a backup too.
Okay, so you didn't pack like everything that you wore.
No, efficiently means that you should have a backup. That's to be efficient. Is it not?
Okay, you go, can I ask you a question?
What?
If you go on a 6-day trip,
yeah.
How many underwear are you packing?
Oh, I pack at least one for each day and then one extra just in case.
Only one extra?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why not? Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, if like there's a real emergency, I can always just go to the store and buy more. Or if I'm in a place like a home or something, I can always just wash them. Right? Exactly. So it's like you're never really that desperate. You know?
Whatever.
We live in a modern society, guys. Okay. We can quickly go out and clean stuff or clean the place that you're at. So that's always an option. I'm just saying. Right?
I don't know. I saw TikTok saying like if I'm going on a 3-day trip, I'm packing 7 underwear.
See, that's excess. That's not efficiency.
But you know what it does?
What?
It gives me peace of mind. Because if anything happened, at least I have 7 underwear.
Y'all act like you're going in the middle of the desert, okay?
You literally never know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could always just go to the store and buy like the cheapest underwear you can find to like hold you over for the day, for the trip.
But part of traveling is like feeling comfortable away from your home. Like remember when we went to Australia and we lost all of our suitcases, mm-hmm. but I wasn't smart enough to pack any backups in my carry-on. So I didn't have anything in there.
Let's go back to that word I said, packing efficiently. Okay.
Okay, but who also didn't have underwear? You.
I had underwear. I always carry. So the way I pack is that all my underwear and like socks and all that stuff goes into my bag. Like my back, the one that you carry on your back when you put your laptop in.
But you went shopping with us.
Yeah, I bought like dress shirts and dress pants. Yeah. Which I didn't end up using. But then they fit well, so I just took them back with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I forgot to get the refund and all that money. But, you know, let's not talk about that, okay?
Okay, back to your story.
Yeah, so we went to the beach day. It wasn't really, like, the most exciting trip. It was really just, like, you know, in and out. Went there, went to the beach, you know. We did our, you know, walks across the beach, you know. Husband-wife moments.
Sunset
walk on the beach, exactly.
That's what you were looking for. I got you.
Exactly. And the next day, we had the wedding itself. That was fun. You know, we were taking notes and all that stuff for other events.
I was just going to ask, did you attend the event with like,
oh yeah,
mental note. Let me remember this.
Exactly. That's all we were doing. I'm sorry to the bride and groom. We were judging everything.
Damn.
Both the positives, and the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they would agree on some of the negatives that I pointed out, which weren't their fault.
You pointed it out to them?
No. If they were to hear that,
oh,
like the some of the things we pointed out, like they would agree with too. Okay.
Okay.
Got it. I feel it. What? Don't make that face. That's not controversial. Is it controversial?
She's saying, the cameras.
Okay, I'm like, move on.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
If money wasn't a factor
and
judgment from the community wasn't a factor, because we all know how the community looks.
Destination wedding.
What is your ideal?
Destination wedding.
Wedding. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, what would you want?
What?
What would you want out of the wedding? Like, what would you want to do?
Something small. Mm-hmm. Destination. Maybe like a group trips to different things. Maybe it would be like a wedding in like Tanzania and you can make it like an African safari. So you can kind of go, you know, those like big trucks they take.
I'm going to steal that idea.
The trips across the safari, the Sahara safari. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But doing something like that. So making it more of an experience, because I prefer to give people more experiences, you know, like. If they can take something away from it, something new. So that would be something I would actually look for. Like the typical wedding things are not things that I look for.
Yes.
It's that. So I would definitely try and make it a destination. If like money was an issue and like judgment from, you know, oh, I didn't get college. You know, the, you know those things. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
I do.
So,
I do.
Yeah, if those were not a thing, then I would definitely make it a destination wedding.
So, yeah, okay. So, safari mission trip. Mm-hmm. That actually sounds like that'd be a cool idea.
Don't steal my idea now.
Yeah, high key.
What would you do?
I'm getting married after you. So
no,
like,
tell me what you would do first.
So I would do a destination. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like if money isn't an object, everyone would do a destination.
Okay, you know what?
What?
It costs the same.
Yeah, I feel like it would.
It was actually cheaper.
You get like a smaller group.
That's mm-hmm. true. Mm-hmm. I think for me, because I have waited so long, mm-hmm. because I've waited so long, I almost feel like there are too many people in my life now that when the day comes, all I'm going to hear is like, finally, oh my God. So I would want to do it in a place that's like central enough.
So you want to invite the whole city?
No, not exactly. Because mm-hmm. like when I think about weddings and like when you think about being on the dance floor, mm-hmm. I want to look around and truly be like, wow, these are all the people that I love and that love me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look around and be like, why are you here? Why are you here? And why are you glaring at me and not smiling? Mm-hmm. You know, like you never want to. Yeah, like you want to protect your peace and your energy too, mm-hmm. right? And like something as special as a wedding is like a moment for you to celebrate like this new chapter in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I'm thinking about like what I used to want as like an 18-year-old planning my dream wedding, mm-hmm. that was like, I want to invite the whole world and have like the biggest wedding. Absolutely not. I feel like I would get stage fright. Mm-hmm. Like this podcast and my persona on here, this is really me, but I'm a chicken. Don't you remember the live show? I was shaking in my boots. Like, were literally.
You
not, yeah.
Well, like you kind of had no choice because your back was making was a big part of that equation.
No, high key, I was in pain too. But like, but I feel like once you turn it on, you just like you're on. You know what I mean? And I think thankfully we had each other and mm-hmm. I could just bounce my energy off of you. Yeah. And the crowd, of course, was fantastic. Yeah. But like when I'm thinking about a wedding, I'm not putting on a show. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess.
No, you are.
You
the
are.
The one thing I realize now is that you are putting on a show.
Yeah, you kind of
after
have to
observing and stuff like that. Like, you do have to, because like you brought all these people here, you kind of have to.
You don't want them to be bored.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Like,
imagine.
Even the things that you play, like things that you set up.
Yeah.
Like, you're thinking about, okay, will the person be entertained by this? Like,
that's the thing.
What will make this unique to them? I don't know. It's like you think there's all these little things that you think about.
Like, I think I saw a TikTok recently mm-hmm. that like this person was saying, like, when I plan my wedding, I want people to how I feel in my relationship is the feeling that I want people to feel when they're at my wedding. Mm-hmm. So if your relationship is like something that's like super peaceful and calm and serene, mm-hmm. you want to like reflect that in your wedding planning. Don't ask why I'm looking at, I'm not getting married, guys. it came up and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. When I think about all, because I've been to a lot of weddings. Mm.
Listen, I've been there too. Okay, so
why are you judging? You were there with me.
Yeah, exactly. I've been to every single one you've been to.
Literally. But out of all of the weddings, like, mm-hmm. sometimes, like, you know, you leave some and you're just like, I mean, it was nice, but like,
yeah,
it's a replica of like the last
like
50 weddings.
Cutter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But then there are some that leave like a true lasting impression mm-hmm. on you. Like one of them is Nia, my friend Nia had a destination wedding,
just saying,
in Portugal. Mm-hmm. And honestly, mm-hmm. I was like wowed, like jaw mm-hmm. on the floor. Like I truly, that was probably one of the best weddings I've ever been to because it was just mm-hmm. so different mm-hmm. and it was like an experience. It wasn't just typical wedding. It mm-hmm. was truly an experience from like start to finish, and like country hopping literally with a big group of people I think is so fun. Mm-hmm. Obviously you want to be considerate of everyone's like budget and where they are in life, and mm-hmm. it's like who can make it and who can't. And for me, family and friends are super important, like loves of my life literally. Mm-hmm. So if it's inconveniencing my friends and family, then obviously I won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly,
yeah.
These days with the like prices we're seeing, just go like across the border half the time. And then you look at the prices going to like Europe and other places, like it's almost equivalent. Maybe you're paying like an extra $100, $200.
Yeah, like you're right. I think flying to the other side of the world
yeah.
is, I don't want to say cheaper, but like kind of sometimes it is.
And like in my eyes, yeah. I see like, okay, I know you mentioned that there are people who might not be able to afford it, or like we can kind of make them pay, but if they're getting experience out of it at the end of it, and they're gonna be paying for a plane ticket anyways,
yeah,
like honestly I'm the type of person who I'm willing to, like, if you need an extra $100 or whatever, I'll pay it. I don't care.
Yeah,
as long as you get an experience out of it, maybe make a fund or whatever.
Yeah,
but like there's one, you're asking someone coming to like just a city they never been to, maybe it's not as a different to where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're going from Toronto to like
somewhere in the States.
Yeah, somewhere in the States. Sorry, shout out to Steve. I'm just going to talk shit about States. But yeah, but then you'd say like someone who's going, like you went from Toronto to like Portugal, somewhere you've never been before.
Yeah.
And like, I guess her, in those places, a lot of times when you get like a destination wedding, they have packages where they have like fine tuned it to give you a full experience, yes, right?
Yeah.
So they've like they've done this enough to where you know it's all gonna be like bang, bang, bang. Mm-hmm. They know what works, what doesn't work, that kind of thing. So you at least know you're gonna get a good experience out of it for a fairly good price.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I think that if I'm gonna make someone pay an extra couple hundred dollars, it's gonna be totally worth it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I wouldn't just be like, hey guys, let's go to whatever country and then you're bored out of your mind.
Exactly.
No, like it's gonna be as much as I can jam pack into that trip and the cost to make it worth it.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dream.
Yeah. So your answer is also destination wedding.
Yeah, it is. It is also destination wedding, but you never know.
Unless you want an Angkor Mahdav.
That's the thing. So if you want to do, if I want to do like a cut, well, I would just do split. You know what would be cool?
What?
Which is actually exactly what Nia did.
What?
She did the cultural stuff in Toronto,
because
the community's here, and then the reception was a destination wedding.
Yeah, yeah. So that, but then you're still dealing with like 1,000+ people that you gotta invite.
To the cultural part.
Incredible, yeah. But I guess it's less planning technically, because like Ankara, like you can kind of, it since it's not a reception, you can kind of get away with just making it about the Ankara, and like, no?
Yes and no, because you obviously you still have like coworkers and like other friends that may not be able to travel.
Oh, I would like hold off the coworkers and all those people for the destination.
Yeah. That's, yeah, but like imagine your whole team can't travel with you.
Why not?
Who's going to run the business?
What
if you're all in the same department?
Oh yeah. You just gotta find the weakest link. That's all it is.
Hold it down for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. No, but like, yeah, because I, you know, sometimes I think about it. Like everyone at work, a lot of my coworkers are married, or like they're older, they have kids and stuff, and so they're always saying to me like, can't wait till it's your day. Like,
yeah,
we can't wait to experience an Ethiopian wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I sit there and I think, and I'm like, what would they like, especially when I go to weddings and I'm like, things that we kind of like starting 3 hours later is like totally normal and acceptable in our community, which shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah.
Like, just
people are changing that. Okay.
You know,
people
like,
are changing that.
The different quirks,
like
Adham or Adib, like doing their little test on the mic. Like,
yeah.
Just the
test.
Little...
Yeah, he cycles. He makes like some noises or something. I don't know.
What?
You don't remember that? Okay, maybe it's just me. Like some like something in recesses of my mind. I don't know. He would make like sounds.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Know. It was something. Okay.
But like little quirks about our weddings, I'm just like, what? How would I explain this to my coworkers? Like, what would they say? You know, like just like even like Jalie, like. When they ask me what that means, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just sing it, but I truly don't know. I would have to do this extensive research.
Actually,
just
that
to,
reminds
like,
me of
explain.
We were at the wedding in LA, and the table we were sitting at happened. Mm-hmm. There was like a West African couple that happened, or family. Mm-hmm. There was two, a husband, a wife, and their son. But the son was older, they were older. And it was their first Ethiopian wedding.
Mm.
And then when the moms were walking in, sing the songs and stuff, like they were like, what are they saying? And then like Hanan started like translating for them, like,
you know what it means,
some of them.
Yanabi.
Oh,
I was explaining what Yanabi said.
Yeah, she was explaining it. Basically she was translating, but like, you know, not word for word. Some of them you did word for word, but then all generally she was just saying like what they're
wine.
what they're saying, why they're saying it, those kind of things, well, right?
I don't know the purpose, but it did make us think.
Yeah.
And we actually want to do, like, Divya had explainer card, like.
Okay, let's not go into details here. Okay,
but like, okay, so for Yanabi specifically,
yeah,
as you guys know, like Harari culture and Islam are like this. Okay, mm-hmm. We're intertwined.
Yeah,
and so I think like starting off the wedding ceremonies by praising the Prophet, like, mm-hmm. what a beautiful way to start it. Like, in my opinion, I don't know. Maybe like there must be a deeper meaning behind it, but mm-hmm. like that's how I see it.
Yeah, I think it's always just remind you of that connection.
Yeah, Islam. A lot of our like wedding, mm-hmm. like zikris and stuff have some sort of like.
Yeah, that's the purpose context. Of all of them, right? It's basically like praising the Prophet,
mm-hmm.
you know, thanking Allah and all those things. That's basically the gist of all of our zikris.
Do you know what Ankar Mahtab means?
To clean something, to clean your heart.
No. Ankar does not mean
I don't know what Ankar means.
It means like it's like the lining of the intestines or the stomach.
Oh, is it for like the waqalim when they fill those waqalim with the intestine things?
Well, so you know when you have a wedding, it's good to be like generous and mm-hmm. feed the not just the poor, but like feed your guests and whatever. And so usually a cow gets slaughtered.
Yeah.
And they have to wash the
I was once there for a cow slaughtering. It was different.
You saw it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because you can't just like. This is too graphic. Or yeah, something. That is. You can't graphic. Like fully just slice through.
So what'd they do?
So you have to like hit them in a certain spot.
To knock them over?
No, not knock them over. Like you have to
stab. You have Where? To like on the neck?
Yeah, in like a certain spot.
And then what happens?
And then you cut it. Yeah, yeah.
Did they lay it down?
No, I think it was standing up. Yeah, it was standing up. Yeah, it was definitely standing up.
But it's huge. Like, I know. Didn't it fall over then?
I kind of looked away after the blood started coming out. It was different. It was definitely very different than the goat. I've seen a goat also. A couple of them, actually.
Yeah, I've seen a goat, too.
Yeah. I think that's kind of like a rite of passage for a lot of us.
I do remember, like, mommy's wedding when I was nine. Mm-hmm. They had a cow.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it alive and standing at one moment. I was like, oh my God, a cow. And then I never saw it again.
You were eating it next. That's what you were doing.
It's like, wow, this Ipsy's bomb. And they're like, yeah, it's the cow that you like.
Direct to customer, man. That's how it is.
That's crazy. I don't know. I'm surprised I'm not a vegetarian at this
point.
Hey, at
least shop local, man. That's all it is.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, at least you know where your meat is coming from.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So destination wedding for us.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, we're past that, no?
I think so. What were we talking about again?
I was gonna just move on to the next thing.
Yeah, we totally can.
So another big things that happened.
Hard stop. All right, let's go.
So another couple of big things that happened while we were gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the election actually happened in Canada.
Oh yeah, the Liberals won, and online Canadians are upset because they feel like the online sentiment was go blue, go Conservatives, but in reality. The Liberals.
Yeah, you know what? I can't blame them too. Well, like, I can blame them, but I can't blame too much because if you look at the charts, literally, like right before the orange dude was put into office, like Liberals literally had the worst approval rating.
You know
like,
what it is?
Horrible approval ratings. Like their chart was like sinking down to the bottom, right?
Yeah.
While Conservatives were like going up. So basically, it was like I don't know how it's going to show up on here, but like this is the Conservative line. They're going like this.
Mm.
And like Liberals were here and they're going like this. So they crossed paths and like Liberals are going down while Conservatives are going up.
That's all thanks to Trudeau.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. And then the moment that Trump started saying like all that stuff about the tariffs and the 51st state stuff, it literally went like Liberals are going down, Conservatives are going up. It shot, it almost looks like it's fake, like the how it changed looks fake because it shot up so fast for the Liberals and so like far down for the Conservatives because Conservatives had aligned themselves a little bit with Trump, so like people were like, we see what's going on down there,
right?
We do not want that.
Yeah.
And they lost after that, man.
You know what's crazy though?
What?
Is that like a lot of the conservative, like, campaign, like, the policies I think a lot of people were actually like supporting. It's just
No.
Some, not a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Some of the points, like, they were pretty important, like lowering or providing more affordable housing, like those types of things.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, unfortunately for Pierre, like, he just wasn't as likable.
Yeah.
And I think his alignment with Trump really, really hurt his campaign.
Mm-hmm. And, like, other people who also were, like, he did an interview with Jordan Peterson.
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
What do you mean?
Why didn't he interview with him?
Oh, why did he did do an interview with Jordan Peterson? Yeah, he did an interview with Jordan Peterson. But Jordan Peterson actually was like kind of playing with the sentiment. I mean, with kind of agreeing with the statement of becoming the 51st state. Oh. Like, he was kind of aligning himself more with that. So that didn't really help. Like, you do an interview with a guy.
Was he pushing that narrative?
Huh? Was he pushing? Like, he was pushing for, like, Canada to, you know, maybe it might be a good thing that Canada becomes part of the 51st state. And, like, to do an interview with that guy doesn't really help your case, man, when you're trying to say that you're all, like, kind of Canada, rah-rah, right?
Yeah, and I think that, like, obviously, unfortunately for Justin Trudeau, like, he really left a bitter taste in a lot of Canadians' mouths. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at it from the outside, it's kind of just like, well, why would we re-vote the Liberals back into power after we just had a horrible eight years with Trudeau? But, you know, unfortunately, the way that Pierre ran the campaign, especially towards the end, it truly, really, like, it hurt him, unfortunately for him. But you know what surprised me was how low of support that the NDP got. But I feel like a lot of NDP supporters just jumped ship to Liberal.
They did,
because they really didn't want Conservatives to win.
Yeah.
Like, Bloc Québécois got more votes than them. And I was like, whoa, I've never seen that.
Well, like, that makes sense. Bloc Québécois, always, like, they just have a stronghold or a stranglehold on Quebec.
Why are you voting for them? You're just wasting your vote. You know they're never going to win. No,
because the thing about it, it helps, especially in a minority government, it really helps because they can push for more, they can basically make sure that Quebec is always, like, thought of and included in any, like, legislation that comes through for the country in general.
I getcha.
So having them there is actually very positive. It's a good thing for Quebec itself.
That's why. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, but NDPs, man, like.
Yeah, it was really sad. And I don't know if this is true, but did Jagmeet Singh
resign? Dropped out immediately.
Yeah.
Like, before, when midnight hit, he already said,
yeah,
like,
he was
done.
Like, planning on it. I think maybe he took the loss a little too hard.
No, they definitely needed new leadership after that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, they had 22 seats before this, right? And now they're down to, like, 7 or 8,
that's
something like
crazy.
That.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I think it's because, like, you know, unfortunately, I think even Hanan was saying this, like, unfortunately, like, we are influenced a lot by the rhetoric in the South, like in America. So, you know, America is becoming is very polarized right now. Like, one side, like, 50-50, basically, right? Mm. And because we're influenced by them a lot, we're kind of, I don't know if it's subconsciously or consciously, we are falling in line with that type of mindset where, like, there's one team and another team, right?
Yeah.
Even though we as Canadians, we know we have more options. We have the NDP, we have the Green Party. There's technically also, like, well, the Bloc Québécois, not really, because they don't have people all across the country. But what are the other parties?
Is there an independent?
There's a third. There's another party I'm forgetting about.
There's another one?
Oh, yeah. I think they're more, like, actually more further right. I'm not sure. But I know there's one more party. But essentially, you have more choices, right? But I guess people are just so scared. And when people are scared, they kind of vote like this. Hopefully, I feel like in the next 4 years, as things hopefully settle down, you know, by the time we have our next election, there'll be another president down south, inshallah. You know, we don't know what's going to happen down there,
we'll
really.
See.
But hopefully by, like, 4 years from now, that polarization will kind of subside a little bit. So people will start to vote more strategically, because a lot of people talk about strategic voting, right? Especially over here where we have the options. So then you might see the NDP kind of rise back up again as an actual force that can swing votes depending on, like, you know, what they want to push, or at least swing legislation or change legislation, or at least push legislation that can help Canadians, or that they believe can help Canadians.
It would be interesting to see an NDP Canada.
Like, and he'd be candid.
Yeah, like to see them in power. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting. I don't know.
They had a chance when Jack Layton was...
Yeah, and then he passed away. Mm-hmm. And then his wife just... Olivia Chow. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. But yeah, that was interesting. That was something that happened. Now we have Mark Carney as our new prime minister. Well, technically he was already the prime minister, but this kind of solidified it. And it's funny because like he's been calling the conservatives on their bluffs. So like when he first got in, immediately conservatives were like, we didn't vote you in here. This is not democratic. We need a vote now. And Mark Carney was like, okay, bet, we'll have a vote in a month from now. Let's vote and let's solidify this. If you guys want me, if you guys want me, we'll. And this is before like the sentiment was changing for liberals, which I feel like why he felt like it was kind of like more in their favor to have the vote now. But there was still a chance that they could lose, right? That's why the conservatives were pushing so hard and people were like so. They were so like...
Their whole campaign was, but we're not Trudeau.
Yeah, exactly. But once Trudeau was out there, like, what do you say now, right?
Yeah.
But there was still a chance that they could lose, right? But he's still like, he's like, okay, if you guys want to vote, let's do a vote, right? Mm. So then they win. And funny enough, Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party, lost his seat in Carleton.
Oh my god, yeah, I saw that and I was just like, damn.
So it's not really a good sign when your leader of your party loses his seat, right? So everybody was saying, oh, because the reason people are saying that he lost his seat is because there were 90 candidates on his his riding. So like when you see the voting list for his thing, it was literally like it looked like a scroll from how many names were on this thing.
That's
right,
crazy.
So people were saying that because of that, like, it may have confused a lot of people, and also it takes a lot of votes away from the major parties because, like, you know, families will vote for their person who's running, so that takes a lot of votes, and especially in our ridings where, like, there's only, our country's still small, right? So our ridings are, like, dealing with, like, 50,000 people a lot of times, right? Which is still a lot of people, but not as much as what you find in America. So they, people were saying, like, there was some weird stuff going on, and they wanted to revote to hopefully get him in. And then Mark Carney's like, yo, if Pierre wants another revote, or like to what do they call it, by election, that's what it was, if he wants a by election, we'll push for a by election and they can revote there, right, to see if he wants his seat back and see if the people actually can
if they actually
wanted to vote for him, right?
Yeah,
so there's less confusion, whatever. So he's just been calling him out on that, and I just hope that he falls through on his promises about, like, he already said that he's falling through on his promises of, like, reducing our taxes.
He better.
For the middle class, specifically.
Wait, what qualifies as middle class?
I'm not sure. Probably think it's, like, I don't know. I can't say. Less than $200,000 a year. I'm pretty sure it's less than $200,000 a year.
So if you mean, like, 180, you're considered middle class?
Yeah, well, in Toronto, yeah.
That's true.
I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, so that's the thing. And but also he's planning on building half a million new houses.
Oh, between 55 to
What?
Okay. Lower that, why that because this doesn't make sense. Okay. What? Overall middle class is about 52,000 to 141.
Okay.
But like middle class is 55,000 to 89,000. Upper middle class is 89,000 to 149.
So generally middle class
is
44 to 141?
52 to 141.
Oh, 52 to 141. Okay, yeah. So yeah, around that range kind of thing, right?
But, yeah.
So yeah, that should save us about a little less than $1,000 a year, which doesn't sound a lot, but it sound like a lot. But for smaller families or for people who are living paycheck to paycheck, that might help out a little bit.
Yeah.
But the main thing, especially for me, you know, when you're looking for housing and stuff, he said he's going to build 500,000 new houses, so you better follow through on that, okay? Next election is going to look very different. I'm kidding. But yeah, so that's the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to, honestly.
Yeah.
The 500,000 houses. He said they're going to make, like, modular houses. What's and that? A lot of, like, people on the other side, like conservatives specifically, were saying, oh, they're going to start building shacks. Not shacks, but what do you call those things? Like, where there's, like, a bunch of them in one plot of land. Trailer houses or whatever you call those things.
The ones that look like shipping containers.
No, people were saying like, oh, that's what he means by modular houses. But when you look up what a modular house is, it looks like a regular house. It just means that they build it off-site, and then they bring the house and put it on the site.
Like a portable house?
Yeah, essentially. But, like, they put it together in pieces, almost like giant Lego. What?
How come when I Googled modular house, there's a house for $62,000 on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get tiny ones.
What? Oh, these are tiny ones.
Yeah.
Okay. That's expensive.
But for a tiny one. Can get them for, they're significantly cheaper than building on land, and they take a lot less time. Like, you're talking about modular houses can be put in within a couple weeks, while a house that's built, like, on the land can take up to a year, sometimes 2 years.
Yeah, but considering our unpredictable climate, an extreme
These things have been tested for, like, modular houses are not a new thing.
They're not, but have you also seen, like, the 3D printer ones, too? Because those look kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think those are feasible in our climate, though. I don't know how those work, especially, like, for the material. I'm not a big fan of those 3D houses.
You don't like the crinkly wall-looking situation? Yeah,
I don't know. You can probably cover that with, like, drywall or something. But I'm more... Honestly, I just want more houses, man.
Yeah,
bring down the prices. That's all it is.
I want to invest in property this year.
Yeah.
But I'm like, looking at the prices, I'm just like...
I know.
How the hell am I supposed to afford this one?
I know.
And you believe?
At least it's not going higher, okay?
For now.
Yeah, for now. But, like, you know, I feel
What? Mentioned to my father... So my dad and I go to work together. Mm-hmm. We have different chats each drive. And I was like, you know what, father? Mm-hmm. When I get married... I'm not going to pay for a single thing.
What?
And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to pay. He's like, so you're not going to help your husband with the mortgage? I said, did I help you with the mortgage? And he was like, well, no. I'm like, exactly. So he's like, you were also a child. I'm like, and I still am.
See, men out here, look at these standards of these women these days. Huh?
He literally responded with, it was one of these, selfish. And I said, how is that selfish?
Yeah.
It is not my obligation, sir.
Hey, remember, they grew up in the time of 50-50, okay? And they're all struggling out here.
Listen.
Yeah.
My thing is, if my husband don't got it like that, mm-hmm. and I accept him and I marry him in that state, mm-hmm. then I'm accepting that I'm going to have to help him.
Yeah.
But if he's got it like that.
Okay, if he's got it, that, sure, yeah.
Why I got to pay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if he has it like that. He probably shouldn't be asking anyways.
I'll buy him fries or something. That's my contribution.
Fries?
you know that TikTok trend that goes like, I don't want your money. And then the girl will be like, my husband pays for it, da, 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 so I made him a nice coffee, and then she gives him that.
I feel like I've seen those memes. I don't remember that sound, though.
You haven't? Okay, I'll show you
after the memes. I've seen the memes, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. That's like the meme that I think of when you say that is... When there's a girl and a guy out on a date, and he gets the price, yeah. He gets a receipt.
How much was it?
He's like, "How much was it?" He's like, $400. Like, that ain't too bad. Yeah. She's like, it's like, you ain't paying for it. That's why.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that was another big thing that happened. What else happened? Did I write down no more tariffs?
Yeah, you did. I
think I think we already talked about that.
We did.
Yeah. And he's kind of backing down on everything, man. Honestly, everyone knows this. That guy is not a good negotiator.
He's all talk.
Yeah, it's all talk. It's all breaking down right now. They're kind of like, he's kind of figuring out the hard way right now down in America. But
the point after that, though.
What?
Is it unique?
No. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll talk about the news first, and then we'll get to that. Okay?
All right.
The next big thing is currently... So as a lot of you, a lot of our listeners probably already know, there's currently, Gaza is currently under siege, and which means nothing is getting in or out of there, including food. So you're basically dealing with millions of people who are currently starving, and they've almost completely run out of food at this point. And I feel like it's not being covered by anyone. They're kind of, at this point, the news is like, just... You know, let them starve. Let them finish this up. I know, it's really messed up. And everybody's just distracted with what's going on here in America. Even we're getting distracted, right? Mm-hmm. You're not seeing it as much. But this is the reality of what's going on right now. But there's a group out there who's trying to do whatever they can. You know, they're like, so can someone do something? So there's currently, they call themselves the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. So they we're like, okay, let's just like try and get something there ourselves, right? Geographically, you guys know that, you know, Gaza is currently on the Mediterranean Sea, mm-hmm. along the Mediterranean Sea. So there was the flotilla. They ended up getting a bunch of supplies, a bunch of food and everything for these people. They put it on a boat and they started making their way from Malta to Gaza. They're basically going to go through the seaport and try and get in from there. And of course, this is a very dangerous mission, but they're like, what are we going to do? Like, we need to help out these people. And actually, one of the people who was on that boat is, do you remember Greta Thunberg? She was like the 15-year-old.
Oh, wow.
She
was on the boat?
Yeah, she's one who's pushing for like
climate change.
Yeah, trying to wake people up on climate change.
Yeah, I remember
So
that.
She's actually on that boat. And, but they kind of hit a snag last night from when we're recording this today, which is like, we're recording this on May 2nd.
Friday, yeah.
So last night, in the middle of the night, there was a drone that actually, and hey, just to let you know, these guys are currently, they didn't make it there yet. They're currently in international waters, right?
Yeah.
So no one has jurisdiction over this land, yet they were hit by a couple drones.
Like bombed?
Yeah, on their way there.
They're not allowed to, by...
Exactly, they're not allowed to do that. This is international waters. Like, it's basically like...
a neutral land
exactly, yeah. So well, and of waters. Course you know is not real is claiming that it wasn't them, or at least they're like not
so
taking
who else would
any
it be?
Exactly, right? So that happened, and thankfully the boat actually survived, or it wasn't damaged enough to where it couldn't continue. So the latest thing right now that I know is that they're still making their way there, and inshallah they're actually able to make there. I know it's just a boat, and for the amount of people that are currently in Gaza that don't have food, like, I don't know how much, inshallah, like, you know, it'll be like one of those situations where the food just miraculously doesn't run out and the people continue to be fed from it,
yeah.
and benefit from it, and maybe this would be like the catalyst to give a bunch of other people the same idea, so they can start doing this, and maybe they can get like significant enough names and faces out there to where any attack or any anything being done to these people, any attack on these people will at least get some type of international pushback.
I mean, it's like this group, the Freedom
Flotilla,
mm-hmm. who's like, are they North Americans or the Europeans? Like, who?
It's people from around the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my thing is that the fact that it takes people around the world. Mm-hmm. to go by boat through international waters to deliver aid, whereas a lot of the other Arab and Muslim countries.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call them Muslim countries.
Arab countries.
Yeah.
Silent.
Mm-hmm.
No ounce of help.
Yeah. Well, it's more of like shouting, but not like doing anything.
No, the citizens are trying.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the leaders of nations are silent. Like, just it's falling on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. It's very... It's truly just disheartening. It's disappointing to see.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, like, and they keep having these like meetings with all the other Muslim or Arab countries, and nothing ever comes of it. Like, I think they had one a couple months ago, maybe a month ago or something.
Yeah.
And it, I think they just wrote like an angry letter. I don't think they did anything really.
Saying what? Yeah, cease and desist?
Exactly. Or like, LOL. Oh, we won't do trade with you or whatever. But like, it's nothing to actually help the people on the ground, right?
That's crazy, because they're worth billions of dollars.
Exactly.
Like, it's... Yeah, I actually saw a post about the Prince of Saudi, who donates like 200-something million of his own money. Mm-hmm. To the fund that allows citizens, it grants them ownership of homes on the land
in the
Saudi.
West Bank.
No, in Saudi.
Oh, okay,
sorry.
Okay, yeah.
But he basically is trying to promote home ownership of the citizens, mm-hmm. and of course I ran to the comments and everyone's like, why would you donate money to your already rich nation when you could literally be donating your 200 million to those that truly need it?
Yeah,
it's just.
But the unfortunate thing now is that no matter what you donate, it can't even get in right now.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, so that's an unfortunate situation, but inshallah, they're able to make it through.
Inshallah.
And actually get in. Actually, to show you like how crazy this whole situation is, just with what I've heard recently about this country is not real in general, is there was a state, or not a state, there was a city in Texas. I forget what it was, like the city councilors or something. They found out that like $5.5 million worth of their budget was for some reason being donated to Is Not Real. Like, this is a small city council, whatever. Like, they're like, why is $5.5 million of our own taxpayer money that could go to our own people,
yeah,
being used to go to like a foreign country, right? What happened to America First, right?
Yeah.
So they tried to do something about it. They're like, okay, let's just reroute this money. Let's put in some, I don't know what the legislation, whatever they call it in America, to use this money for our own citizens, the people who are paying into this system, right?
Right.
And it was stopped by Greg Abbott. What's his name again? Greg Abbott, right? Oh. Yeah, it was. He wrote a letter to that council stopping them, saying, what you're doing right now is anti-Semitic. What? It makes no sense, man.
No, that actually
makes no sense.
Don't piss me off.
No sense at all.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And no, like, honestly, must have something on the U.S. because I don't understand this blind loyalty. Huh? I don't understand the blind loyalty.
It's the funds, man. They fund it. The one thing is that they've played the game to perfection. That's the one thing you can give them. They've played it to the perfection and like how to game the system, at least the American system. They're like, who's the superpower in the world? They went to them and immediately started paying into it, right? So
I wonder how AIPAC, like, their strategy has changed since Citizens United, which was the case that allowed companies to have freedom of speech, basically pay anyone they want.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, that's when it started, no? Because there was a point where AIPAC they're about to like disband it, or they're trying to destroy it, or like they're basically trying to take away, they're trying to take away their like charity status, or they're like tax exempt status, but they're able to fight that after Citizens United was entered. It was something that was like what do you call that? I forget the words in America that they use.
The court case.
Yeah, the Citizens United court case. Once it was won, upheld, whatever. Then they were able to like fight that, or like they're able to pay off the people who were trying to get their tax exempt status taken away, and it never came up again. But yeah, so those were a couple other things that were happening. Also, there's something you wanted to mention.
So I don't know. Did you see that there was there are forest fires in, I think it was either in Jerusalem or like near it. And it's funny because the forest is filled with foreign trees that aren't even native to the land.
Yeah.
Because the Israeli government planted them there to hide the Palestinian lands, I believe.
Well, no, it was to basically
to
like
hide something,
sabotage the land, so they couldn't. So the people who had claim to that land, the Palestinian people who had claim to that land, it's so that they couldn't use it anymore.
There's a forest
there. There's a forest there now.
And so now that there's a fire, the Israeli government's asking for international aid,
And no one's coming to their help.
They better not. But like after all that you've done,
yeah,
you're like the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah. First off, we just want to say, we never want like innocent people.
No, that's not what but if it's just a bunch of trees burning, then burn, baby, burn. I'm just kidding.
I just hope that affects their GDP.
Yeah, and maybe their air quality, something like that. But
it's sad to know that like America will probably come to the rescue and just give them a few more billion dollars to buy their own equipment and fix this whole situation for them.
They have the intelligence to send drones into the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, but they don't have enough water to take out a forest fire. Make it make sense.
I know. It's because the money that they were given to buy that equipment, they just rerouted that money towards their weapons and stuff like that. Yeah. Because that essentially all they've been doing is putting all their money into weapons and
AI and stuff.
Like ways to basically oppress people.
That's crazy.
Like, they're like, we want to be the best at this, so we're going to put all our money into learning how to oppress people the best, right? So that's essentially why it's coming back to bite them now.
That's... The government is a master manipulator.
Oh, yeah. They're really good at that.
That's messed up.
That's one thing you can give them. Let's get into more lighthearted topics. And what do you take offense to, Sarah?
naming your kids to be more Western.
Oh, yeah. So the first topic, this is something I want to talk about. Something me and my wife have debated.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're like, you know, you talk about, you know, like, oh, if we had kids, if we had a girl or a boy, what would you name them? That kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, maybe we should take back, you know, the power of having, you know,
ethnic names.
Ethnic names. Mm. Exactly. Right. Because, you know, people have, there's this whole trend of like trying to make names for kids that can, are like somewhat related to our culture or religion, but are super easy for like, you know, the Farangiach to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those who know what that means. but yeah, I feel like pushing back. I feel like naming my daughter Bilqis.
Huh? Isn't that Cardi B's name?
Huh? No, that's Bellicles or something like that. I don't know.
I swear that's her name.
Or like
Ruqayya.
Yeah, something with an like a cough in
there. I love that name. That name's so beautiful.
What?
Ruqayya.
There you go. That's a beautiful name. You can say, right?
They just call her Ruqayya. Ew, Ruqayya.
No, we're going to also emphasize for our kids.
Or they call her
that
Ru.
They must make sure that people pronounce their names correctly, okay? This is also me that's saying like this Rayyan. As a guy who like struggles with saying half the commentator's name, so.
That's like Rayyan. Like, they probably call him Ryan at school. Wait.
Rayyan's not that hard.
It's either, like, no, but they can't say Rayyan. They'll say, like, Rayyan. Ew. Rayyan.
Yeah. That's like yours. Even your basic, like, basic name.
Yeah.
Is said wrong.
Okay? You want to know something funny?
Sarah?
Sarah?
Sorry. Okay, I said that too loud.
I was
Sarah.
When I went to a coffee shop in, yeah, like near my work, mm-hmm, in the path, because, you know, I saw a comment once. I was like, when I speak of this path, like, it's this wonderful place. It is.
Just Google it.
And the lady was like, what's your name? And I said, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how she spelled it? Sarah. S-E-R-A. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start spelling my name like that.
What?
Sarah.
No, but your name is Sarah.
Okay. So here's the thing.
You have to make sure you bring your finger like that too.
I actually, so.
Or it's like this.
As people, Sarah.
Yeah.
As people at work have discovered the podcast,
mm-hmm,
obviously they, you know, watched some of the clips and they noticed, like, how come your cousin calls you Sarah? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you got to roll the R. It's Sarah.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, is that your real name? I'm like, it's literally Sarah with an accent. Like, I don't know.
But it's not even with an accent. It's just how it's said, okay? Sarah. You gotta say it strong. You gotta make sure you say, no, yes, that is how I say my name.
Now I say feel it. Like when I'm like 45, 50 and I'm like sophisticated, grown, I'll be like, yeah, my name is Sarah.
Why can't you be sophisticated and grown now?
I mean, I am, but I'm still like,
trying to figure out who you are?
No. No, but it's sort of like, it's giving Hannah Montana, you know?
What?
Miley by day, Hannah by night, Sarah by day. Or sorry, Sarah by day, Sarah by night. You know what I mean?
Okay, you can live your Hannah Montana dreams for now, but I just feel like in the future we must push for more ethnic names.
No, I totally support that.
Do you have a list of ethnic names?
Did you? Is that what you sent to me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me see.
Let me see what this is. You sent it to me too?
Ooh, here's a quote by Wersan Shire or Shir? I don't know how to pronounce. Oh, sorry. See? Okay. Give your daughters difficult names. Give your daughters names that command the full use of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
My name makes you want to tell me the truth. My name doesn't allow me to trust anyone that can't pronounce it right. Period.
Exactly. That's the sentiment or this feeling we should be pushing onto our kids. Not pushing onto our kids, you know. Raising our kids with. Make sure they form to us, not to them. Okay? We're not trying to assimilate. Well, okay, maybe not completely, but, you know, it's, you know, socially, sometimes it may be good to assimilate. But I'm just saying, okay, there's a balance. There's a balance here.
But you know what? We live in a pretty multicultural city, mm-hmm, where I feel like both of us have gone to schools where we had classmates that had very ethnic names.
Mm-hmm.
And you think those kids cared? If you couldn't pronounce their name, they would literally spell it out phonetically until you got it right. Think of all the Tamil names, the Asian names.
Yeah, but we should never go as far as the Asians.
Why? Oh, how they have two names?
East Asians, yeah.
Like, they have their English name and then their Chinese name or whatever language name.
Yeah. Because, like, well, you know what? Sometimes maybe they are doing us a favor, but maybe it's time for a change. Maybe there are shouldn't be any more. You know, Henry should go by...
what his real name is.
Xing Yang. I just made that up.
That's racist.
It's, let me search that out right now. I'm going to search.
Xing Yang.
X-I-N-Y-A-N-G.
Xing Yang is not a name.
There is a city called Xing Yang?
That's crazy. I thought he was making that up. All right.
I was, but it's true.
Well, no, I agree. I truly think, mm-hmm. like, you should... I mean, I say this while my parents literally named me Sarah, knowing mm-hmm. damn well everyone's going to call me Sarah.
Yeah.
Because in their minds, and this was in the 90s, that they, mm-hmm. they were forward-thinking mm-hmm. 30 years in advance. They said, we want her to have equal opportunity to... you know, get a job and find it easy to yeah. get a job. And I will never forget this. When I was a kid, my older brother used to be involved in every single sport. Mm-hmm. And because I was the younger sibling, he dragged me to every single practice that he had. And so I remember, I think it was like baseball, mm-hmm. but his coach was this lady. And she was like, oh, what's your name? So mm-hmm. I told her Sarah. And she's like, how come your brother has such a unique name, but you have like such an easy name to mm-hmm. pronounce? And I said, I don't know. Ask my parents. Also, my brother named me. So like, that's probably why.
Yeah. But that does show you that it doesn't even have to be like a super, even something hard to say. Just make sure you keep
Sebri's
it. Like,
name isn't hard.
Yeah. It's not hard to say, but it's still like different. Right. It's like, it's not something that like you're planning. Like when you call your kids Adam.
Yeah.
Right. Or like, but I guess that's also a prophet's name, so like I can't really like, you know, say it's a great.
But if you think of like Prophet Muhammad's name, Muhammad yeah. is like one of the most common names in the world, not even just amongst Muslims.
Yeah, but then you know the guys out here, they go by Mo. I don't know Mo. What's the different one?
Mo Hamoudi.
MK.
Okay, that's funny. Yeah,
that's definitely like a Toronto thing.
Or like M dot.
Yeah, it'll be like something with an M. They just won't say Muhammad, you know, which is like a very good name to have.
Mo Money.
Exactly. We're just calling out people every, we like, know,
very,
right?
Every variation of Mo. If you're a Mo and you're friends with us and you're watching this, we're not making fun of you.
Yeah.
Mommy, if you're Hariri.
For real though, see? I'm telling you, man. But yeah, that was just funny. Something, and it's not something new, okay? It was no, done in not. Like even in the 70s or 80s, I can't remember when it was, mm-hmm. or maybe the 90s, but there was a time where African Americans were trying to get away from, like, you know, the slave names that they were given by choosing more ethnic names, and of course there's a lot of Muslim influence, so yes. you have a lot of people who
Amir Johnson,
yeah, or
like Khalid even the singer,
Tupac Shakur.
Yes.
What was his actual name again?
I forgot.
What's his name? Let me search it up.
Yeah, let's see who can Google it faster.
Let's see, 1 second. His actual name was...
Damn it.
Oh, Amaru Shakur.
Tupac Amaru Shakur.
Yeah. Shakur. So they kind of already
hold
did
on.
This. What?
He was actually born Lassane Parrish Crooks.
What? Really?
Yeah.
But they changed their names. Yeah, they changed their names.
Oh, they gave him an alias to avoid being recognized as a Black Panther's child.
Mm.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, because his mom was a Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so it's not something new. It's just something I want to remind people of, okay? But there was another thing that I want to talk about, which was, okay, let's just say this was inspired by my recent watchings of something we all know about called Pop the Balloon.
Oh yeah.
So I didn't watch the original video, but I'm one of those people who likes watching people reacting to videos.
Okay. Yeah.
I love reaction video, mm-hmm. or just like I find like a couple people that react to certain things, or and
what
I just
like
love
the
commentary.
Oh, the commentary. Okay.
Yeah, it's like watching with a friend or that kind of thing, right? You know.
You watching reaction videos is the equivalent to someone reading the comments in a TikTok section, TikTok.
Yeah, but it's more interactive. Not interactive, but like. You get the emotion out of it. Some of them are funny. I like watching people who are funny with it, mm-hmm. or can give some maybe other commentary on it. But they were watching Pop the Balloon. And there's one thing they pointed out that I was like, that's totally right. Because I don't know if you've watched Pop the Balloon, but every single person comes on, they're like, oh, so what do you do? the first thing they always say is that I'm an entrepreneur. And then they start listing off like one, two. Oh, I'm a hairdresser. I also work a 9 to 5.
Did you see James Gourmet Pies?
What?
James Gourmet Pies.
That's a new one. What's that one?
You have. Do you know about James Gourmet Pies?
Was he on there?
He's like, he's a recurring.
What?
They always mention.
Like, he literally introduces himself as James from James Gourmet Pies.
See, so there's always.
A woman like that too.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what she sold.
Oh.
They're promoting.
Yeah, but yeah. Every person that comes on there, including the people who are the contestants, I guess you would say,
yeah,
all of them have multiple businesses. And, like, in my eyes, I'm like, is this something that's unique to, like, Black people? Because if you think about it, we can all, even us, we can kind of say we do things, right?
You know what it
and
is?
If you think of all our friends, if you think all our friends, they all have multiple hustles. It's like something that's unique to Black people where we all have to have multiple hustles.
You know what it is?
What?
We're trying to build our generational wealth. We didn't get a head start in life, unlike our.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. It's a reaction to like the fact that we, even though we don't have a lot of that baggage, when we come into the game, we're still like dealing with the ramifications of it, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to like whether it be racism or
the gender pay gap.
Yeah, for y'all, the gender pay gap.
The pay gap.
I don't know. Pay. I'm gonna cut that out. Don't call it out.
Pay gap.
But yeah, so that. but there's just like a lot of things. And I feel like, yeah, maybe it's a reaction to the trauma from all that stuff.
I think it is. Like, if it's mostly Black people, I think it's people of color in general have side hustles.
Yeah.
I totally see that. I totally think it's because of the generational wealth thing.
Mm-hmm. And do you think it just sounds better to say that you're an entrepreneur? Like, people, but the thing is, like, a lot of people are saying that they're an entrepreneur when they have like one business they started like a month ago and like they're still like in the starting process. They still have like a 9 to 5. It's like, at what point can you call yourself an entrepreneur? Do you have to be successful to be an entrepreneur?
They're manifesting.
Are there every single person, every contestant, every
person coming up? They're speaking it into existence.
Yeah.
And like on camera on a, you know, pretty popular show, probably to like motivate them to continue. Because a lot of people who want to become entrepreneurs or who want to start businesses end up failing because they don't really continue after like week 3. They're like, oh, that's too much work. Oh,
yeah.
You know, it requires a lot of courage. It requires dedication, time, discipline, money. Money is a big one.
Yeah.
You know, so I could totally, you know, I think you have to say I'm an entrepreneur. I've never used that term personally. Are we entrepreneurs?
That was one thing I was trying to get to. Is like, at what point can you call yourself an entrepreneur? Like, if you started a business yesterday, are you an entrepreneur?
I'm just Googling.
Or when I
definition.
Say you start a business, when you start the process of starting a business, are you an entrepreneur? If you still have a 9 to 5, like, if you have to be successful to be an entrepreneur, right?
Well, according to Google, according to the AI review of Google,
yes.
An entrepreneur is an individual who creates and invests in businesses, typically taking on most of the risk and reaping the rewards.
Yeah, but like, when is it considered business? Do you just have, the moment you make it an LLC, are you an entrepreneur?
Well, they're characterized by their ability to translate ideas into products or services, and they play a key role in driving economic growth. So I think simply having an idea doesn't automatically make you an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
I think when you put your money where your mouth is, whether it's failed or not, like, at least you're trying, and that's when you could be like, I'm an entrepreneur. It could still be successful, but to a small scale. If you have one customer, you're still successful. You have one more than you had before.
I guess so. Maybe I'm hating, but still.
Don't hate.
Yeah. Maybe they should also be like that guy, the
James Gourmet Pie
guy. Like, instead of saying I'm an entrepreneur, call out your thing. Be like, yeah, I started a business, you know, called, I don't know, Amir's Gourmet Cookies.
I want to show
you. Are
you
showing me his page now?
Yeah, because I want you to
see. We can have your name and age.
My name is James Gourmet Pie.
He has a whole movement he does with it too.
But yeah, so maybe it is a Black, maybe it's part of our Black culture.
But maybe it's like a front also too, because people just feel like
they're not doing enough.
You know how like they always say like, Black people generally have to like do more or like
it's
to get
true.
The same
Yeah, they have to work like you 10 have to times
work,
harder.
Oh, yeah, you have to work 10 times harder to get to the same spot that they do. Maybe it's a front to be like, because maybe a lot of people just have a 9-to-5, but they don't want to sound like they just have one job. Like, it doesn't sound like they're working hard enough, or they feel like they're not living up to the potential or like the expectations that society puts on them. So they feel like they have to say that they're an entrepreneur, or they have to name like the multiple businesses, whether they've been successful or even failed businesses, just to say that. Like, it could be that they have 5 failed businesses, but they still call themselves an entrepreneur.
Well, okay.
But they do it like as a front.
Let's take our privilege out of this for a second. Mm-hmm. So let's assume that your 9-to-5 mm-hmm. is able to sustain your expenses mm-hmm. and you're able to live not paycheck to paycheck. So mm-hmm. you have a little bit of, what is it, expendable income?
Yeah.
So privilege aside, I think that a lot of not just Black people, but children of immigrants, people of color mm-hmm. are instilled with the hustler mentality.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for us, we didn't grow up thinking I'm going to live the soft life. Some of us, I think if you're a girl, yes, because you're, especially if you're from a Muslim family.
Yeah.
Your dad typically handles the majority of the finances mm-hmm. for you, or your mom. But either way, it's never falling on you. If you're a guy, different story. Mm-hmm. But in that sense, I think that a lot of us have been instilled with the hustler mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom always used to tell me, like, have your own job. Doesn't matter if you get married. Like, have your own money. Yeah. Like, work hard for what you want, you know? So, like, I've always had that thought in my mind. Even if I was doing, like, a 9-to-5, like, I think for us, the reason why we don't feel like entrepreneurs is because we're not really, like, we're hustling. Mm-hmm. But, like, we do it because we truly love what we do.
Yeah.
That it doesn't feel like a chore. It feels like a hobby. I think like
our goal is not to make money. Like, that would be a nice thing, but like, it's more because we just like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think for like some people have multiple businesses or just multiple side hustles mm-hmm. because they have to, and that's how they can afford to live. And those that are doing it truly as a side hustle because they're just passionate mm-hmm. about it, or they just want to make the most amount of money, is mm-hmm. because they have that hustler mentality instilled in them.
Yeah. Maybe it's just more because typically colored people in general, like,
we don't have trust funds.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have trust funds.
Yeah.
And because we come from communities that have been like pushed back and marginalized for so many years.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you want to get out of that, and you feel like you never want to, your future kids or your future family to never even see that, and you kind of have to just work as hard as you can now to like set yourself up for the future and
get absolutely I'm not gonna knock someone for wanting to do better than what they had. Our parents did that. Our parents came here to give us a better life than what they had. And so now, you know, inshallah, when we have kids, we want to do even better than what our parents gave to us. You know what I mean? And of course, we're always grateful for, like, regardless of where our parents were financially, I feel like we had a pretty good childhood.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, we never felt like we were missing out. We had every experience you could think of. We traveled. And that's more than some people can say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we were out here saying,
a lot of people can say.
Me and Amir had passports before we were even 1 year old, okay? So
I was a world traveler before I could talk.
Literally though, I turned one in Ethiopia.
I think I did too. No,
Were we there long? Maybe you were already one, and I turned one.
I went twice before I even turned like 5.
That's crazy.
I know. I don't know how my parents survived the plane rides with me.
You were a quiet baby though.
I was
the troublemaker.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know what I mean. Like, I think that it's not a bad thing. Like, I truly think that it's a good thing, and it's interesting to see, like, through the different generations, like, millennials are a little bit more like, I feel like they are risk takers, but Gen Z are even more like, especially with the rise, and I know we always talk about this, but like, the rise of social media and truly making a career out of social media is so big. Like, there are courses now on it, you know, in schools, that I think that has like completely shifted the mentality of like side hustle.
Yeah.
So,
because a lot of times when they say they're entrepreneurs as well. Like, it's because they have like an online, they have
shop or something.
Online, not only online shop, but like they just have a social presence where they're like trying to get sponsors and stuff like that, or they're trying to build up a following, that kind of thing. So
yeah,
that in themselves, like they turn themselves into the business.
Yeah, you're the face of the brand. Like, yeah, you are the brand.
Exactly.
Or so, as that one girl from Dubai Bling says, I am the company.
I don't get the reference.
Sorry. Damn. I'm sorry, you remember when that used to be me on the podcast and you would say all these things and I'd be like, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
And now it's you. Everyone knows Dubai Bling.
I don't know nothing
about. You know who I'm talking about, right?
She didn't.
No, she watched. We watched Dubai Bling together. No, we watched.
Habibi.
Yes. What's the show called? Love is Blind, Habibi. That's what we watched.
I think I watched that too.
No. You were there, but you weren't like watching. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you guys are still watching.
But oh wow, we went a little long this week.
Yeah, we went a little long. I'm sorry. I'm really hungry right now.
Last time.
What?
It's to make up for not.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's exactly. Okay, guys. So I know that was a long episode. Shut up! Don't look at me like that. But if you liked what you heard or what you saw today, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Follow us on all platforms, Cousin Connection Pod. Hit the like button. Leave a comment if you have anything to say about the things we said today, whether it be why black people love to have multiple hustles or naming your kids with Western names. Hopefully I can pronounce half of the commentators' names.
Actually, I need to read you one comment that I saw because I laughed. You literally shamed someone into changing their username.
No, I didn't.
Because you couldn't. I'm not joking. It says, I changed my username.
Here I am, the hypocrite.
It was Nada or Nada.
Yeah.
Said, I changed my username because watching y'all freeze mid-sentence was was giving dial-up internet energy. And then I wanted to say it faster like it wasn't a Rubik's Cube. Please.
You know what?
That's actually hilarious.
But the name is still beautiful and we will continue to try and say it as perfectly.
Okay, try saying it now.
As much as it deserves to be made, said.
Try
probably.
Saying it now.
What? Nada. Oh, what? That's an easy one. Okay, come on. She probably just had it like written with like 3 or like a 4 for the A or something. I don't know. It might have been different.
Maybe.
But yeah, leave a comment like that if you want it to be read in a future episode.
Yeah.
But we're going to get out of here and we're going to see y'all next week.
Bye.